Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Okay. Hey, Reg. Podcast time. All right. What do you say we get started here? You got everything in place? I'm set on this end. Instrument is feeling okay, a little nasally, but not overtly. I could still talk, so that's good. So what do you say? We get a little podcast in action, all right? Cool. Get the trigger finger ready. I'll give you three S's. Star, smile, strong, and here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. Of course, it's important to listen every week, but it's also important to get out there and tell your friends, say your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Of course, if you like what you've been listening to, whether it's been for 2 months or 2 years or 10 days or 10 years, whatever it's been, as long as you've been listening and you like what you hear, you can always go back to WGNRadio.com. Go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and you can hear podcasts from the past, recent past, up to 2, 3, 4 years ago. Just scroll down and load more, scroll down and load more. We've been doing this for almost 10 years and more than 500 episodes. In fact, this is episode 507. So, if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, I think it's been an interesting little dialogue. I always say that my goal here is to create a dialogue between you and I. Or I guess it's you and me, between me. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean with I. No, that's how you always know. I'm a stickler for grammar. It's always easier to do it on paper because you could see it as opposed to talking off the top of your head. But in that perfect example there, I immediately corrected myself. I took my red pen out and put it all over the words I just said. Everybody, I would say 98% of the people, always confuse the you and I and you and me phraseology. The best way to do it is to take the you out of your sentence when you're saying it. And if the me makes sense without the you in it, you leave that in. Or if the I does, it's like you and I want to go to the store. I want to go to the store. So you take the you out and I want to go to the store makes sense. You and me, if you take the you out, me want to go to the store doesn't make sense, right? So that's how you know whether it's you and I or you or me. You take out the you, leave the pronoun for yourself, and whatever pronoun works best, the I or the me in the rest of your sentence, that's the one you go with. And then you could put the you back in, and then you know it's you and I or it's you and me. So right there, I said you and I think. But whatever I said was wrong because I right there, mentally in my mind, I took out the you and the sentence made no sense with what I said. So you got to change that. Just a little hint. I know in today's world, nobody really cares about grammar at all. We have dumbed down the language. We have all but done away with correct grammar and any kind of standards and correctness. There used to be something known as, and I'm sure it still exists, but I doubt if it's still used, the AP style book. And that was mostly for print journalism. But this was the official way that you were supposed to write different things. So it was a uniform way of doing things. And that was so that everybody could be understood correctly. Today's world, you know what I mean. You know what I meant. Oh, who cares? Blah, blah. You know, with the advent of social media and blogs, which have decimated the print journalism world, and then, of course, now podcasts, which have become, videos, TikToks, everything like that, that has obliterated the American language and the grammatical rules for it in terms of conjugating verbs and using correct tenses, and it's all over the place. Now, it's just become one, everybody just talks the way they talk. Most people don't talk correctly. And so, and nobody's there. There's no more police anymore. That's really what the media used to play was a very important role for us. Now the media is the worst offender, but the media used to play kind of the policeman for the language. Editors, whether they were book editors, or newspaper editors, or television writing editors, there was a group of people that were very diligent and very dedicated to the correct usage of the spoken and written word. And that's why so much of what we read 30, 40 years ago in the public domain was uniform and was mostly clear and understandable, because it was written according to the tenets of an established way of doing it. As I said, it was called the AP Style Book. And anyone who was in journalism had a copy of the AP Style Book, and editors certainly did. When I worked at newspapers, I was an editor, but then I was also a reporter and a columnist. And so then I would turn my copy in to an editor, and they would edit my stuff. And a lot of times I would say, okay, well, why did you change that? And they would explain it. And they would, sitting right next to that. I mean, today's world, I mean, you know, this was before the internet. But everyone, every journalist, any journalist at a newspaper or a TV station who wrote the AP Style Book was at their desk or at their cube. There's no question about it. It was as needed as the typewriter or the computer or your keyboard. AP Style Book. But that's gone by the wayside. But anyway, as I said, the last couple of weeks have been interesting in that you've kind of been able to hear how the sausage is made. At least in this podcast. I don't know how other podcasts are. As I said, I often joke that this podcast is very scripted and everything I say is written down, and I make a little, you know, sound with some paper like I'm reading, but I'm not reading. This is all off the top of my head. I have an idea of what I want to talk about, and I have it in my head, but I rarely even have, even if I have notes, I have something of a, I don't know if I have a photographic memory or not, but because I'm not really sure what that means. I do know that I could close my eyes and see pages and things like that. It's one reason why I'm able to memorize scripts when I'm acting. I can memorize pretty quickly because I could, a lot of times, see the page and see where the line is and see the chunk that I'm talking about in my head. And that's kind of the way it is. So in this case, you know, this is a verbal, an audio. So you can't really see how the sausage is made, but you can hear it somewhat. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about phone numbers. And I came up with an idea, as I was coming up, I was talking about phone numbers and how you, used to memorize phone numbers. Everybody, you know, we didn't have, you know, our contacts in our phones. If we did, we had a little phone book that we might carry with us. Mostly guys didn't, women may have. But I was making a point of how before the smartphone or even the cell phone or even any kind of electrical kind of device that stored information that you could carry with you, we had to know these phone numbers, especially in There was probably 10, 15, 20 perhaps phone numbers that you knew at the top of your head. And now, of course, nobody knows anybody's phone number. Well, I was talking about that. I had a light bulb go off, and I'm like, wait a minute. This is, I was talking about that, but then I also thought of another aspect of it, and I said, wait a minute. That might be an interesting topic to talk about next week. And I kind of filed that away. Didn't tell you what it was completely yet, but I was planning on doing that last week. And so I even gave you a hint. I'm like, well, you know, if you want to listen back, you actually heard the germ of an idea get born in the midst of just my ramblings. I came up with another idea, and there we go. You just heard how a podcast topic can often be born, right? Well, much to my surprise, I started to talk last week about the topic I want to talk about today, and I promise I'm going to get to it today. At least I hope so. And then I went off on another tangent and got very involved in it, to the point, oh no, that wasn't even last week. That was a week before that. And so then I just went off on using how I use change and paper money. That was 2 weeks ago. And I didn't even plan on that. But I got so involved in it, and I looked at the clock, and I'm like, I really can't get to my other topic. And so I just went with that, and I enjoyed doing that topic quite a bit, and it was kind of fun because it was completely off the top of my head and completely a surprise to me, and I was just kind of going with the flow. And then last week, I did have a topic about our return to the moon. And I don't know if you've heard the update. And I gave the caveat on this. You know, as I say, I record these a few days in advance before they're posted. So I can get caught in a little time window here. And when I recorded this, the last week's podcast, the lunar mission to fly around the moon, Artemis 2, was planned at that point for a launch date of last Friday, the 6th. And then, of course, in the midst of that, it got pushed back a couple of days because Florida's weather had turned unseasonably cold, and they pushed it back a couple of days, and they were talking about possibly doing it on February 8th, which, of course, was yesterday. This is being posted on the 9th. But on Monday, but then they did another pre-test leading up to the possible launch last weekend. And apparently, in one of these tests, they found a leak in some major part of the rocket. And so now they've pushed that back into March. And as I even said, that there are possible delays and alternate dates within February, March, and even April. It can go back. There's no guarantees it's going to even take off in March. In fact, this leak that they found in the Artemis spacecraft obviously was serious enough that they aren't even going to launch now anytime in February. They pushed it back another month. And that could happen again. These are very, very fluid plans and very, very complex systems. And they're very fragile. Oftentimes they say the more complex a technology is, the more fragile it is for anything to go wrong. And so clearly when you're sending up human beings in this aircraft, is which the plan is to fly four humans around the moon and back, everything has to be exactly correct. There can't be any hint of a problem when you are sending up, life up there. If you're sending an unmanned spacecraft, you certainly don't want it to explode. You certainly want everything to go right. But if there is humans involved, then the scrutiny is, you know, 1,000 times more, as well it should be. And so the Artemis 2 project has been delayed. I still contend that most people don't even know or really care, which is kind of sad. And that's what I talked about last week. But I'm going to get back now to that original topic that was first born almost a month ago now. And then held off because I felt it had its own, instead of just passing it off as a little comment within my discussion about phone numbers and memorizing them, I thought, no, this is actually something that I could actually build a whole podcast around. So, but now it's like 3 weeks, 4 weeks later. But where are you going? Right? All right, we got time. And so let me finally get to this topic that's been percolating in my mind and has been delayed both by design and by accident. But now here it is. Drum roll, if you please. I hope it's worth the wait. But to get back to what sparked the idea is that I was talking about how in today's world with smartphones and other gadgets and devices that store phone numbers, we don't really know people's numbers anymore. We don't even sometimes know our own numbers. We may even forget our own phone numbers because we're never calling them. If we do, we hit home, right? Most likely that's in your contacts, home. A lot of times people have several different phone numbers. They have a landline. Some people still have a landline, as well as a couple of different smartphones or mobile phones. So we don't even know our own phone numbers, more or less friends' phone numbers or business associates' numbers or even family members in our own homes, because how often do we call them? And if we do, once again, we just go into our contacts, hit their name, and it's off to the races. We don't even bother to look at the phone number. Which is interesting, and this is why I wanted to bring this up, is because just before that little idea sparked me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, something happened a couple of times that made me kind of think like, well, am I doing something wrong here in terms of, smartphone, mobile phone etiquette? Am I breaking the rules? Am I not following the rules? Am I unaware of the rules? Am I being lazy? So here's the thing. I have a list of contacts, not a ton, but I have enough of phone numbers that I might call on a regular basis. And every so often, especially when you're bored and you're sitting somewhere where you're just kind of, scrolling through your phone, then you start to go clean things up. You do that, right? The cleanup of your phone, deleting old messages and deleting this and getting rid of that. And a lot of times, if you're really got some time on your hands, if you're at an airport or something, or you're really kind of bored or something, you can really get into some major decluttering and some major house cleaning within your smartphone. And so you start to go into all of your different categories, into your folders, into your accounts, and of course, into your contacts. And maybe there's people that, 2 or 3 years ago were very important in your life, or maybe even at a time, maybe just for a short period of time, you were doing a lot of business or you were doing something where you were talking to this person or these people quite a bit and you wanted to have their numbers handy and quick, because you were calling them on a regular basis. So you put them in. Well, now maybe times have changed. 2 or 3 years have gone by. And whatever that issue was or that occurrence was or that event was, they're not really in your close circle anymore. And so you go, well, do I really need this person's number in there anymore to clutter up my contacts, especially if I'm in some little weird little decluttering mood? And I've done that. Like I said, I'll go through and go, well, you know what? That person, if they call me back, fine. But I haven't called them in 3 years. So, there should be a cutoff point sometime, when you're deciding on you know, these kinds of contacts of any kind, whether it's old email addresses or old emails and cleaning out folders. It's like, you know, I would think, you know, a year, I say you keep that. A year, you know, there's a possibility that you might not, you know, contact somebody for a year, and they would still be somebody that you would need their contact information. But when you start to go about 2 or 3 years down the line, and you haven't spoken to that person at all, I would think that that's a pretty good indicator that that person may have faded off from your close circle, and maybe they can be deleted. It's not always easy to delete somebody, right? It feels kind of weird, but it must be done. I mean, some people. I mean, I'm very, very surprise, surprise, right? I'm very, anal when it comes to, cleaning out my inbox, like, for instance, in my email. I go through that every day, and I have a list of files, and I will file things away. I will read them. If I don't need them, I will delete them. I will get rid of my spam. If I have read them and believe I need to get back to them, I will file them in a folder. But when I go into my inbox on a regular basis, couple, 3 times, 4 times a day, perhaps, just to see what's going on, I will never have 100 emails unless I'm on vacation or something and I'm not checking it 2 or 3 times a day. But at the very least, I would think I check my inbox on my email at least 2 to 3 times a day, if not 4. But most of the time I might have, you know, if it's been several hours, if I'm out running errands or I went somewhere, something like that, where I've been away from not checking things, certainly they will add up. I mean, a lot of the times it's just, you know, kind of unimportant emails anyway. But I don't have thousands of emails in my inbox, or even hundreds, or even 50. I would venture to say right now, I haven't checked my email in a couple of hours. I might have 20, 25 emails or 30, but when I go in, I will go through those and read them and delete what I don't need, read what I have to read, and then put other ones in files. My email is very, very efficient. Surprise, surprise, right? But, you know, as I've said to you many times, I use my smartphone quite a bit for checking emails, checking Facebook and things like that. But I'm not really a big texter. I don't do TikTok. I don't go on Instagram. I don't go on a lot of these, Twitter or X, whatever it is, and read things. That's not my thing. It wasn't 20 years ago when it first started, and it isn't now. I certainly read and go online to get news and information, and I will scroll some of the things like Facebook and get some news and things like that as well, in addition to, you know, news outlets and things like that, by simply, you know, scanning on Google or other search engines. But I'm not a big social media guy. I have a Facebook account, as I talk about, but it's very minimal. I'm not on there all the time commenting on every little thing I do every 10 minutes or everything that's in the news. I'm just not my thing. I have a certain number of daily kind of things that I post. People that check my Facebook page on a regular basis know. I mean, I 3 times a week I post a link to this podcast. Not every day, just 3 times a week. I don't want to inundate you or the people that might check my page on a regular basis. So I don't put a link to this podcast there every day. I know some people might say, well, why not? I mean, that's, you know, social media, promote, you know what? I do it on Mondays when it first posts. I do it on Wednesdays, and I do it on Fridays. In my view, if you listen to this podcast, you know it's there. And if you are a casual visitor to my Facebook page, most likely you will come upon the three-day-a-week links that I put up there for the podcast. That's the way I do it. I do have this daily music feature, Elton Jim's jam-packed iPod, which, you know, I first started about 11 years ago, almost 11 years ago in 2015 when the iPods were still popular. Now it's kind of an outdated title, I suppose, but I still post songs from my iPod. Still have my iPod. I still use my iPod. And I still listen to it. But that's about all. I mean, if I go to a concert or we go on a vacation or something, I will post some, you know, photos after the fact or some kind of things. Obviously, birthdays or anniversaries or special events like that. But I'm not overly. I'm not one of these people that will go on every minute and comment on whatever's happening in the world every 10 seconds. That's not my thing. But so I use my phone as more of an informational device than a truly communicative device. I don't really talk on the phone all that much to people. I don't text all that much, which brings me to the mystery topic. Yes, I have contacts. Yes, I do receive texts. Yes, I do make phone calls, but not all that many. There are many times, as I say, as I've talked many times, if you've listened to me, even if you know, if we're in the living room, you know, settled in the evening to watch some television, most likely I do not have my phone in that room. My phone will be in the kitchen where the charger is, and it's sitting in there. A lot of times the phone will ring, and a lot of times it's just spam calls anyway. Yeah, I'm really a popular guy. I hate to admit it, but I really don't get a lot of phone calls or a lot of texts. But here's the thing. So I do have my lists of contacts that I do need sometimes. And I do have, you know, I do check my texts, even though I don't get all that many texts. As I said, I don't have children. So I never got into the whole texting thing as a habit. If you're a parent, obviously, texting is a part of parenting today and has been for the last 15 or 20 years. But not being a parent, never had to do it. Not checking up on anybody. So no need. Only text when completely necessary. You know what I mean? So here's the thing, that because of that, and because I'm kind of in the minority, because most people text like they're going out of style. People are always texting every second. Where are you? What are you doing? I'm bored. Oh my God, I'm sitting here. I mean, you know, I don't do that. I can't even remember the last time I text. And one part of it too is I text with two fingers. I'm hunting and pecking too. It's not that easy. I'd rather write an email on a real keyboard on a computer. I will text, obviously, when it is most convenient, especially if I'm away from a computer with a keyboard and I'm out and about and I get a text that I have to respond to. There's no, I'm not anti-technology and I'm not anti-text. I don't really have that big of a circle of people to text, and I don't text out of boredom. I don't bother people. So here's kind of the gap then, because there are certainly texting rules. I don't use emojis all that often, or the GIF files, GIFs. I don't know what they are. I mean, I know what they are, but I'm not. My use of text is very utility based. Somebody sent me a message, I send something back. I don't add links. Sometimes I'll add a picture, but that's kind of a big deal. I'm very much like, you know, because it's a pain for me to text because I don't use the thumb thing. I have big thumbs, and I can't. I mean, even when I hunt and peck, I still have to like look at my text because the letters are all over the place. So I'm not a big texter, and I'm certainly not a texter that adds all these, you know, little amenities to things, like, you know, with balloons, or I don't have an avatar, for instance. I don't have an avatar for my texts. No, I don't. I don't send balloons. I don't poke, or I mean, I don't send birthday cakes or little, I don't do that. Which is maybe one reason why nobody texts me, because I'm probably no fun. And I don't know all the rules, and I don't know all the trends, because I'm not all that involved in it. It's just not something that, you know, I don't have that big of a circle of people to text. And it's not as easy because, as I said, I mean, I watch some of these younger people, or a lot of, doesn't have to be young, but I mean, some people are just wild with the way they can text with their thumbs. I mean, boop, 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 boop. It's like a flurry of activity. And I'm over there, boop, 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 boop. So I still enjoy talking on the phone. I don't do it all that often because no one calls me anymore. And when I call them, they don't want to stay on the phone. People just don't. I mean, there used to be a time when you'd be on the phone for a while. It was a main, talking on the phone was a main means of communication. It just isn't anymore. And I still enjoy the lively art of conversation. But most people don't. Most people don't want to hang on the phone. They'd rather text and say yes or no, or send a little emoji. They don't want to be bothered. We are in a short attention span, fast-paced world, and technology has finally met those demands of our short attention span. They've added it to the phenomenon of it, but I think that inherently had to be in our system anyway. But yeah, there was a time when you'd actually be on the phone and talk to somebody for 15, 20 minutes. Could you imagine that? Being on the phone now with somebody for 15 or 20 minutes or a half hour? I still do that with some friends. I will talk to some friends for an hour and 15 minutes, 2 hours, sometimes 2 or 3 hours. No lie. Really good friends, people I've known for years. I can still do that. And they still do that with me. But I'm sure that if you talk to younger people, they don't even know what the heck that means. They may text you 78,000 times, but sitting on the phone and talking for more than 20, 30 minutes, I would love to get some information on what is the average length of a phone call today. I'm sure they have it with all the data that they can pull up. I would love to know what the average phone call, I bet you if I went on Google right now, here, isn't this exciting once again? You can see the sausage being made. Average phone, I'm just going to put this in here. Average phone call length in, let's say 2025. What's the average length of a phone call in 2025? Let's see what AI has to say. Wow, this is so interesting. In 2025, now this is AI. I don't know how true this is or not. It says in 2025, the average customer service phone call. Okay, now that's customer service. I don't know if I would necessarily call that. I'm not talking about. Let me put average personal phone call. I don't want to talk about a customer service phone call because that's, you know, people don't want to talk to telemarketers and things like that. Let me see what it says. Average personal phone call. Here we go. See if it's any different. In 2025, the majority of Americans, 35%, spend between 1 and 15 minutes on personal phone calls to friends and family daily, with 52% spending less than 15 minutes total. While daily smartphone usage averages more than 4 hours a day, voice calling is no longer the primary function. Well, we all knew that, right? But, yeah, I mean, 15 minutes. While some individuals have extremely long calls, the trend indicates short, frequent, or text-based communications over long voice conversations. Yeah, 1 to 15 minutes? Boy, that is not me. 11% spend 31 to 60 minutes. I would put myself then in the 2% because I'll go more than an hour with some people if they have the time and they want to. But yeah, I mean that I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it's even 15 minutes, to be honest with you. But I could tell certain people when I'm talking on the phone that there's a certain moment where they're getting tired. I gotta go. You could see it. And it's not in my mind. We've just started. But once again, you know, I came from a whole different time when we actually had attention spans, when we enjoyed talking on the phone, and it was our main kind of long distance communication. We didn't have any emails. We didn't have any texts. If you wanted to touch base with somebody, you called them on the phone. You either went to their house if you could, or you called them on the phone. And so I would say the average phone call, you know, 30, 40 years ago was probably 30 minutes to 45 minutes. And now that's unheard of. I know most of the people that I talk to. But here's the thing. Here's, once again, this is the mystery. I still haven't talked about the mystery topic yet. So let's get to it. Because, as I said, I don't know all the rules, especially when it comes to texting. I'm not a big texter. And so I need your help. I need some information to help me to know whether I'm being rude, whether I'm being out of touch. I don't know what I'm being, but here's the thing. Okay, so I do receive texts, yes, and I do have a certain number of contacts, and so when these people text me, right, their name pops up. But I don't have that many texts or that many contacts. So if somebody calls me, for instance, I might recognize the phone number, maybe. Or if somebody texts me, they will say, hey, it's Tom, or it's Frank, or it's Mary. Okay. And so then I will get involved in this temporary text thread, this little text chain with them. And then I will most likely, as I said before, I go through my emails and I delete what I don't need. And I do the same thing in my text message file. I will keep some people's texts if I need the information, or if I need, you know, if I'm in some kind of a chat, little mass text chat with them or things like that. But if somebody texts me randomly and identifies themselves about a very specific issue that I'm just dealing with in that moment, most likely I will go back and forth with them and have a little text conversation, text chain with them, and resolve the issue, whatever it may be. But most likely, if it's a, as I said before, kind of a self-contained message or text chain, most likely I will not continue that. And I won't, for instance, put that what was at one time a random phone number, which was texted to me and then says, hi, this is Tom. And I go, okay, oh, hi, Tom. But I will not just automatically add that phone number into my contacts. Because as I said, I'm very paranoid about having way too many contacts with people that I really don't have normal contact with. So I don't want to clutter my contact list with people that I don't really have a regular you know, conversation or relationship with. Now, maybe these people that contacted me randomly, that might develop into that. But oftentimes it really doesn't. A lot of times it's kind of one-off things. And so I just delete them. Well, what happens though is that sometimes I'll just leave that phone number there. I won't put it in my contacts, even though I know the person very well. There is a chance that I might talk to them again, but I don't go to, I mean, and believe me, this sounds ridiculous. I realize it's not, it's so simple to add somebody to your contact list. I get it. But it's just not second nature to me. I don't use the texting function all that much. I don't use the phone all that much. I don't use my contact list all that much. And so it's not like I got to add this person to my contacts list. It's just not something, it's just not a second nature to me. And so of late, it's gotten me into a little, not trouble, but I feel bad. And that's why I need to know about the correct texting etiquette here. Because clearly there are some people, which is very nice of them. I'm not really the initiator of a lot of texting. I don't initiate a lot of texts. I receive texts and I will be very quick to respond, but I'm not a big initiator because I'm not, hey, what's going on? I'm bored. Or, did you see this? It's just not my thing. So I don't initiate a lot of texts. So I'm reacting mostly of getting texts from people that might go, hey, what's going on? Or did you see, or they might say to me, hey, have you seen this? And I'm happy to get involved in that. I'm not like a curmudgeon. It's just that it's not that whole idea of texting and commenting on everything. Believe me, I know this sounds very contradictory because I can comment on anything at any time and pontificate on it for hours. That's what this podcast is all pretty much about, right? That's what I'm doing every week. So you say, Jim, this doesn't make any sense. You say that you don't really comment on things or you don't have an opinion on things. You don't, you know, but yet for the last 10 years and for now 507 episodes, what are you talking about? You do it every week for an hour and sometimes an hour and a half. And believe me, I could probably go a little longer, but I don't want to bore you to death. At least bore you more, I guess. So I understand that it's contradictory to some extent, but I guess, you know, it would seem that I should be so into the social media world and the texting and this and that and the posting and all that. Because I am kind of a gregarious person and I am opinionated and I do enjoy sharing my opinions and sharing my observations. But I guess that in this social media world, I am not that. I was that before social media. I've talked to you many times. I'm kind of a contrarian when it comes to things. When something is really popular, I shy away from it. Not everything, but a lot of times. When it gets to be so saturated, that's not what I want to do. Everybody else jumps on the bandwagon of the latest trend. When I see the bandwagon, I run away from the bandwagon. I try to start the bandwagon, but when everybody starts to jump on, then I get off. When the bandwagon gets too full, I jump off. I like being one of the first adopters, the early adopters. I like to be on the bandwagon when there's only seven or eight people, when it's hardly a bandwagon. It's just a voice out in the wilderness screaming like, hey, listen to this. Look how cool this is, blah, 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 blah. And then unfortunately, when everyone else figures out that it is kind of interesting, then I get a little, ugh, no, it's too much. That's just the way I've always been. And so while I probably should be very active, given the nature of my personality, I should be on TikTok every day, making videos. I should be on Twitter, commenting on things. I should be posting 15 posts a day on Facebook. I should be doing all of that. I was probably made for social media. The nature of my personality, in actuality, should be, I should be all over social media. But because it has become so ubiquitous, because it's become something that everybody does, that turns me off to it. And I see how transient it is. And, you know, there's all these content people, and everybody acts like they're content creators, or they went viral and this went viral. But you know what? I mean, everybody wants to go viral. There's no question that some people have been able to manipulate the system to the point and have gotten some lucky breaks and something out of the blue that was never expected to become something has turned into a major career for people. There's no question about that. But the majority of this viral stuff, it doesn't really amount to anything except, you know, your 4 minutes of Andy Warhol fame. It's down to 4 minutes now. When Andy Warhol predicted that 50, 60 years ago, it was 15 minutes of fame. But never even he didn't see. And he wasn't around, sadly, for the really advent of the power of the internet. Wow, that would have been an interesting thing to see Andy Warhol in the midst of social media. He created social media before it was invented and before it had a name. He was doing social media with the available platforms. And there weren't that many, but whatever was available, Andy Warhol was very, very ahead of his time and very much a social media visionary before it ever was even introduced or thought of or certainly given a name. I would argue that Andy Warhol is the father of social media, really. He had a finger on the pulse, and he did see the narcissistic need for the average person to want and desire and be consumed by attention, wanting attention. And he's, like I said, his famous quote was, "In the future, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. And in today's world, he's not far off. As I said, I would just cut it back. Now, if somebody goes viral, now they're, you know, it's probably 2 minutes of fame. And everybody's trying to go viral. But there's a few, yes, where that viral sensation actually turns into something sustainable and lucrative. But for the most part, most viruses die off. So it's probably a really good term. If something goes viral, for the most part, it probably goes away too. It gets killed and gets eaten and gets spit out and is gone. And viruses come and go very quickly. But so here's what I need. I need your help on the etiquette of texting. Okay, so here's the scenario. Because this happened to me within a couple of days, like four times, and I felt really bad. And that's what sparked this idea 3 weeks ago. So, as I said, when I get a random text from a family member or a friend, maybe that I haven't spoken to a long time or something like that, or somebody that I maybe speak to quite a bit, but I see them in person. I don't really talk to them. I don't really, you know, have their phone numbers. We've never, maybe we've exchanged phone numbers, but I've never contacted them. They've contacted me. So that number that comes in, as I said before, we don't really know people's phone numbers anymore, just by visual. So these texts come up. And so here's the thing, I guess, here. So right from the beginning, All right, let's, you know, help me here. I'm ignorant on this. All right, so you meet somebody, or you've known somebody for a while, and somebody says, "What's your number?" And you give it to them, or you send it to them, or whatever. And then they say, "Well, here's mine too. I'll send you a text, and now you got mine." Now, when you do that, this is like the first step of the creating this kind of new relationship, or at the very least, some contact relationship. Okay, so now somebody says, "What's your number?" I give it to them, and they say, "Okay, I'll text me here, and then I'll text you back." And now we've got each other's phone numbers. Now, when you do that, and I'm sure you do that on a daily basis, most people are much more savvy and much more involved in this texting world than I am. So when you share and exchange numbers and you text each other, that initial text thing to start that chain, do you right away go into your contacts and add that person right away? See, because I don't. Because I don't really know. I don't know if, am I really going to hear from this person again or not? I don't know. I mean, I've had this nice little conversation with them, but I don't know if this has just been obligatory or courtesy or real. That it might be long-lasting or sustaining. But most likely, just because it's, as I said before, it's not my second nature, I don't automatically add them by name to my text list. Now, I don't know. Maybe they add me, and they've got my name in there already, but I don't. Okay. So I just meet somebody, we exchange phone numbers, and I'll text you, and fine. So they may put my name into their contacts things with my phone number, which I just gave them, and they texted me. But when they send me a text, I said, "Oh, yeah, okay, I got it." My first thing is not to go and add that into my contacts. It's just not my second nature. So most likely then, a couple days will go by, I will look through this and I will see these numbers, gathering in my text message file. And I will like, "Oh, it's time to declutter this. I just need the most, important and frequent ones. You know, I don't need a list of thousands of people. That doesn't boost my ego that I have a million contacts." So I will most likely delete that conversation. And I may have remembered it at the time, like, "Oh, yeah, that's when I talked to Tom or Frank or Mary." But then it's gone, and then I don't hear from them in a week or two, or a month, or 2 months. And so here's the thing. I got that initial text, that introductory text. I didn't add them in my contacts. Now I deleted it, right? Now I don't even have that. I don't even see the number anymore. It doesn't even come up. If the person was going to text me again, it would come up under that number if I left it in my messages. Then I would say, "Oh, this must be Tom," you know, because I could tell by, I could read the past threads and go, "Oh, that's whatchamacallit." But if I delete it, and it's been a couple of weeks or a couple of months, that phone number has, you know, now we don't register phone numbers in our memory like I said we used to do 40 or 50 years ago. So now I don't know who this is. But this person has my number in there and my text and my name on there. And they're actually obviously reaching out to me. So they assume that I know who they are. I think they're assuming that when they text me, their name is popping up, as opposed to this kind of, in my mind, random phone number, which I don't recognize. And then if somebody says, "Hey, what's going on? Did you see this? Or do you want to go here?" I mean, what? Is this spam? I mean, is this catfishing? What is this? And so a lot of times in the past, I would answer them And I would go through a series of responses and then put on my Columbo trench coat and kind of deduct through my responses and through the references that they're making who this possibly is. Now, I know that it would be much easier rather than going through all of this. And I believe me, there's been times when I've been wrong. Because a phone number might look similar to another phone number. But I have been very I've been hesitant to admit to the other person that I don't know who it is. Because they obviously have reached out to me. They obviously know my phone number. They obviously are interested in me for some reason here to contact me. And I don't want to look like I'm either not interested or aloof or something like that, or that I don't know who they are, because they clearly know who I am. They've reached out to me. They probably got my name in their contact list, but I don't. It's not because I don't want them in my contact list. It's just that it's not second nature to me. I don't do this on a regular daily basis, so it's not the first thing I think of. And I've got this compulsion to keep my inbox for my text messages uncluttered. So there's a lot going on here. So as I said, it doesn't happen to me all that often because there's not that many people that do text me randomly like that. I have a small circle of people and I do have them in my contacts. But every so often there will be this random one that is somebody who I do know and I like and I enjoy, you know, conversing with them. But I just didn't. But it's not like we do it on a regular basis enough for me to immediately identify that number. And I didn't put their name in my contact list. So, first question. Should I, right off the bat, whether I'm going to have a regular contact with this person or not, if I get a phone number, text message, and I know who it is, should I just immediately put them in my contacts? What does it hurt? And they're there. That probably makes the most sense. But as I said, there's that anal part of me that doesn't want all this clutter. So should I or shouldn't I immediately take that random number and put a name to it? If I didn't, here's what I really need some help for. All right. So here comes the text. This happened to me like 4 times within a week and a half, to the point where I was like, what do I do? And I'll tell you what I did, and I'll tell you how I felt. So I get this text. The number looks somewhat familiar, but I'm not sure what it is. So now I go into my Columbo detection, my Sherlock Holmes deduction, my Columbo deduction thing. Is this who I think it is? What are they asking me about? Can I figure out who they are by what they're asking? Well, sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. So I went back and forth with this one person. And so finally, we finished our conversation, and I had something of an idea, but I really didn't. And this person asked me something kind of specific. So I felt very strange because I'd already been in like 2 or 3 responses here. And so I couldn't continue this conversation and give out information if I didn't know who I was talking to and who I was giving this information to. So finally, it was very uncomfortable. And I said, I want to make sure I don't have this number in my contacts list. Who is this? And they came back with, well, it's Tom. And I'm like, oh, I figured it was, but I didn't have you in my list. Okay, I don't know if, so then, okay. Now, it happened again, like a couple days later. Somebody asked me this kind of, this sends me this random thing. They assume we've spoken enough that they assume that I've put them in my contact list. But I haven't, because I don't do that regularly. So they asked me this very specific question, but I'm still not sure who it is. And so I, rather than go down that rabbit hole of three or four responses before I admit, right off the bat, I say, you know what? This phone number isn't in my contacts. Who is this? And they respond, and, oh, it's Tom. And it was almost, or Frank, or Mary, whoever. And I'm wondering, am I being rude? Am I actually insulting them by asking them who they are? Because they obviously know who I am. They've reached out to me. And do I look rude, or do I look like I don't really care because I didn't add their name? But at the same time, I should ask who it is, right? I shouldn't go through this deduction. I shouldn't wonder who it is. I shouldn't let a conversation go without knowing who I just spoke to, right? But I feel very bad because this person reached out to me, asked me a question, was involved in me, was interested in me, and I didn't automatically know who they were, and I had to ask who they were. Now, if you're in person and someone says, hi, Tom, or hi, Jim, and you go, and they, hey, Jim, I blah, 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 and they start giving this conversation with you, don't you feel weird when you go, excuse me, who are you? I mean, gosh, that's kind of rude, right? So I don't know, and I did this actually to a family member who's I hadn't spoken with in a long, long time. And so I wasn't aware of their phone number. And they were asking some question about want to get together or something, and I said, sure. And then finally I said, but before we go any further, who is this? Because I don't have you in my contact list. And then they tell me, and I feel like a jerk, and I wonder if they're looking at me like I'm a jerk. So I need your help here, because I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be aloof. I'm not trying to act like, oh, well, you're not important enough for me. It's just that I don't use the texts often enough, at least in my mind, to have to create a contact for somebody like that. So what is the etiquette? What do you do? Do you just, when you get a new phone number, when you meet a new person, when you get a new text, do you automatically create a contact for them or not? Do I just need to start to do that? Or is it okay for me to write back right off the bat? Oh, hi. Thanks for getting in touch with me. But I need to ask, this number isn't in my contacts. Who is this? Am I being rude? Am I being, I guess rude is the only word I could think of. Am I being, you know, just kind of mean or rude or dismissive by not knowing because I didn't put them in my contact? Am I lessening their importance because I said to them, I didn't have you in my contacts? Am I insulting them? What's the etiquette? I need your help because I'm getting a few more texts than I used to, and I either need to get in the habit of adding them in the context or at least knowing that if I sent you that, if you sent me that text, hi, Jim, how you doing, blah, 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 and then I wrote you back and said, who is this? Would you be insulted? Or would you be happy that I was honest enough with you? And then once you tell me, I go, oh, I'm sorry. And I explain, look, I'm sorry. I didn't add you immediately to my context, but I did now with an exclamation point and a little smiley face. I will use the smiley face every so often. I shouldn't say I don't use any kind of emojis. I will use a little smiley face every so often. So I try to soften the blow if I have insulted them. But I don't want to keep doing that. So I come to you, dear podcast listener, who most likely is much more active and much more savvy in the texting world than I am. So I need your help. A, when I get a new phone number text, should I automatically, when I know who that person is, whether I think I'm going to talk to them ever again or never again, should I add them to my contact list just in case? Or is it okay for me to ask who this is without insulting? I need your help. Let me know on my Facebook page what you think I should do. Just don't write me a text. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And of course, it's always good to get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 507. I'm Jim Tarano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears. I don't have your ears listed. Who is this?